Again, I will be reading from James chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 from the Holy Christian Study Bible. It reads as follows. James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in dispersion, greetings. Consider it joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, but endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. For if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like a surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I come to you right now, Lord God, lifting up this call and lifting up the facilitator, Dee Felder. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for each and every one on this call tonight. And I pray that everyone be blessed and filled with your word, oh God. Father God, that if we would take this word away, whatever we hear tonight that you give us tonight, Lord God, I pray that we take it and apply it to our life. For Father God, that is your will for us, is life application of your word. And Father God, I just thank you and praise you, and I pray that whatever we pray for, that we ask for, God, that we believe in faith and trust you, Lord God, that we may receive your blessing. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And before I pass the call, may everyone get a pen and paper that you may be blessed so that you can write it down. Write the vision down. Make it plain. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I pass the call to thee.
Jezebel in. Who you gonna tell when the repercussion spins? Why is she playing music and reading song lyrics about the most evil woman in the entire Bible? I'm glad you asked. I thought about sharing this with just the women on our Thursday call, but I was led to share on this forum. Should be interesting. At least I know it will be for me. So before I share this, I'd like to say that I'm telling this from kind of my own interpretation. Of course, I'm referencing the Bible. I'm sure the others may not agree or feel differently or may just not understand. However, for me, as I grow more mature in my spiritual walk, it's not about making anyone agree or believe or even see things the way I do. What it does is make me go deeper into those areas that as a child I'd hear discussed but never really got a clear understanding. Jezebel was one of them. Thank you, Diane, for that scripture. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my word to turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. It's Proverbs 4, 5, and 7. So if this causes at least one somebody to do what 2 Timothy 2:15 says, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because Bible study is very important, and myths need to be cleared up too. Do any of y'all know girls named Jezebel? I didn't think so. And there's a very good reason. Jezebel was the name of an extremely wicked queen in the Old Testament. When King Ahab took her as his wife, we are told that he went and served Baal and worshipped him. That's in 1 Kings 16:31, if you want to go on over there and check. Baal was the name of the supreme god worshipped in ancient Canaan and Phoenicia. The Canaanites worshipped Baal as the sun god and as the storm god. He's usually depicted holding a lightning bolt. He defeated enemies and produced crops. They also worshipped him as a fertility god who provided children. Baal worship was rooted in sensuality and involved ritualistic prostitution in the temples. At times, appeasing Baal required human sacrifice, usually the firstborn of the one making the sacrifice. The priests of Baal appealed to their god in rites of wild abandon, which included loud, ecstatic cries and self-inflicted injury. For more than 2,000 years, Jezebel has been saddled with a reputation as the bad girl of the Bible, the wickedest of women. This ancient queen has been denounced as a murderer, prostitute, and enemy of God, and her name has been adopted for lingerie lines, World War II, red lipstick, World War II missiles, red lipsticks alike. But just how wicked was Jezebel? In recent years, scholars have tried to reclaim the shadowy female figures whose tales are often only partially told in the Bible. Rehabilitating Jezebel's stained reputation is a strenuous task. However, for she is a difficult woman to like. She is not a heroic fighter like Deborah, a devoted sister like Miriam, or a cherished wife like Ruth. Jezebel cannot even be compared with the Bible's other bad girls, Potiphar's wife and Delilah, for no good comes from Jezebel's deeds. These other women may be bad, but Jezebel, hunty, is the worst. Yet there is more to this complex ruler than the standard interpretation would allow. To attain a more positive assessment of Jezebel's troubled reign and a deeper understanding of her role, we must evaluate the motives of the biblical authors who condemned the queen. Furthermore, we must reread the narratives from the queen's vantage point. As we piece together the world in which Jezebel lived, a fuller picture of this fascinating woman begins to emerge. Yes, I did say fascinating. The story is not a pretty one, and some, perhaps most readers, will remain disturbed by Jezebel's actions. But her character might not be as dark as we are accustomed to thinking. Her evilness is not always as obvious, undisputed, and unrivaled as the biblical writer wants it to appear. Jezebel was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Phoenicians, and one of the wives of Ahab, king of North Israel. Her story is recounted in 1 Kings and 2 Kings, where she is described as a worshiper of the god Baal and the goddess Asherah, and as an enemy of God's prophets. Although Jezebel is one of many wives, 1 Kings and 2 Kings make it apparent that she wielded a considerable amount of power. The earliest example of her influence occurs in 1 Kings 21, when her husband wanted a vineyard belonging to Naboth, the Jezreelite. Naboth refused to give his land to the king because it had been in his family for generations. In response, Ahab became upset. When Jezebel noticed her husband's bad mood, she inquired after its reason and decided to get the vineyard for Ahab. Can y'all say hostile takeover? She did so by writing letters in the king's name, commanding the elders of Naboth's city to accuse him of cursing both God and the king. The elders obliged, and Naboth was convicted of treason, then stoned. Upon his death, his property reverted to the king. So in the end, Ahab got that vineyard he wanted. Yes, he did. At God's command, the prophet Elijah then appeared before Ahab and Jezebel. He proclaimed that because of their actions, this is what the Lord says: in the place where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours. That's in 1 Kings 21:17. He further prophesied that Ahab's male descendants would die, his dynasty would end, and the dogs would devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Elijah's prophecy at the end of the vineyard story comes true when Ahab dies in Samaria and his son Ahaziah dies within 2 years of ascending the throne. He is killed by Jehu, who emerges as another contender for the throne when the prophet Elisha declares him king. Here again, Jezebel's influence becomes apparent. Though Jehu has killed the king, he has to still kill Jezebel in order to assume power. According to 2 Kings 9:30-34, Jezebel and Jehu meet soon after the death of her son Ahaziah. When she learns of his death, she puts on her makeup, does her hair, and looks out the palace window, only to see Jehu enter the city. She calls to him, and he responds by asking her servants if they are on his side. "Who is on my side? Who?" he asks. "Throw her down." Jezebel's own guard betrays her by throwing her out the window. She dies when she hits the street and is trampled by horses. After taking a break to eat and drink, Jehu commands that Jezebel be buried, for she was a king's daughter. But by the time his men go to bury her, dogs have eaten all but her skull, feet, and hands. Every biblical word condemns her. Jezebel is an outspoken woman in a time when females have little status and few rights, a foreigner in a xenophobic land, an idol worshiper in a place with a Yahweh-based, state-sponsored religion, a murderer, a meddler in political affairs in a nation of strong patriarchs, a traitor in a country where no ruler is above the law, and a whore in the territory where the Ten Commandments originate. Yet there is much to admire in this ancient queen. In a kinder analysis, Jezebel emerges as a fiery and determined person with an intensity matched by only Elijah's. She is true to her native religion and customs. She is even loyal to her husband. Throughout her reign, she boldly exercises what power she has, and in the end, having lived her life on her own terms, Jezebel faces certain death with dignity. See, applying eye makeup, that kohl, and brushing one's hair are often connected to flirting and Hebraic thinking. But Isaiah 3:16, Jeremiah 4:30, Ezekiel 23:40, and Proverbs 6:24-26 provide examples of women who bat their painted eyes to lure innocent men into adulterous beds. Black kohl is widely incorporated in Bible passages as a symbol of feminine deception and trickery, and it's used to paint the area above and below the eyelids is generally considered part of a woman's arsenal of artifice. In Jezebel's case, however, the cosmetic is more than just the attempt to accentuate the eyes. Jezebel is donning the female version of armor as she prepares to do battle. She is a woman warrior. Waging war is the only way a woman can. Whatever fear she may have of Jehu is camouflaged by her war paint. Her grooming continues as she dresses her hair. It's a symbol of a woman's seductive power. When she dies, she wants to look her queenly best. She is in control here, choosing the manner in which her attacker will last see and remember her. Without question, the nastiest, evil, most disgusting, cunning, and seductive spirit in Satan's hierarchy has to be what many call the Jezebel spirit. This evil spirit has been responsible for not only tearing down churches, destroying pastors, and different Christian ministries, but it has also been responsible for breaking up many marriages, friendships, companies, along with getting many people to commit cold-blooded murders and suicide. Jezebel is a spirit, but it finds access through uncrucified flesh. Although the Jezebel spirit is described in the Bible as being a woman, it does not actually have a gender. There is no doubt that it functions just as proficiently through men. Satan is destroying and perverting everything that God created which surrounds opposite-sex relationships. Satan hates heterosexual relationships because it was God's creation. If you are like me, then you probably will never believe anything anyone tells you that sounds negative until the wrong man or many men comes along and ruins your life. Any man that tries to force himself into your life is probably sent by the devil. Satan will beat your door down in order to lure you into sin, but Jesus is always a gentleman. Jesus will never tempt you to sin. A genuine Christian man will respect you and never ask to force you to sin against God. That little piece right there was for my sisters. What is a Jezebel spirit? The Jezebel spirit is not just one spirit like Satan is. This is a type of evil spirit in Satan's kingdom. There is only one devil, one Satan, but there are many spirits that would be considered a Jezebel-type spirit, as they all have a particular type of personality, a specific way, in a specific way in which they like to operate. The reason many deliverance ministers have used the term Jezebel spirit is because of the nature of its personality and the way it operates once it sets up shop within someone. Simply put, a Jezebel spirit is one of Satan's higher-ranking, more intelligent demons, if not the smartest kind of demon he has in his kingdom. And with it being much more intelligent than many of the other lower-ranking demons would be, this makes this type of spirit much more evil, cunning, and harder to deal with once it moves in and attaches to a person. And with this kind of evil spirit being much more cunning, intelligent, and evil than some of the other lower-ranking demons will be, it will cause a lot more trouble and destruction if it's not quickly dealt with and cast out. The Bible tells us in Matthew 12:43, that there are levels of wickedness in Satan's kingdom. And if there are levels of wickedness in his kingdom, where some demons are actually more evil than some of the other ones will be, then I believe there may be different levels of intelligence among demons as well. The Jezebel spirit, since it is much more intelligent than some of the lower-ranking demons will be, is very good at playing head games with people. There goes that peace of mind and sound mind. It is a total control freak, and it is very good at manipulation and getting people to do its evil bidding. I'll read what the traits of the Jezebel spirit is, and if everybody has not hung up, we may be able to talk about it. The Jezebel spirit seeks out other individuals they feel are weaker to control, influence, and dominate. It has an unnatural sense of self-importance, requires excessive admiration and attention, shows arrogant, haughty behaviors or attitudes, lacks self-control, unable to control emotional outbursts, unconcerned with affecting others, exploitative, abusive, takes advantage of others to achieve his or her own goals, manipulative, and lies, totally void of empathy, will falsely mimic empathy to seduce and control their victims, jealous and envy of others, yet delusional and believing others are jealous and envious of them, defensive and combative whenever confronted about anything, fantasizes about themselves having unlimited admiration, beauty, power, success, brilliance, or perfected worship and love, believes that he or she is superior and unique and can only be understood by other superior people, has a sense of entitlement, demands automatic compliance with his or her expectations, unreasonable expectations of others, very critical when disappointed. The good news is that God gives each individual person the freedom of choice. Every one of us has the freedom to make decisions, to make mistakes, to think for ourselves, to communicate, to like or dislike, and to express our taste and creativity. Those who control are in worship of their own wills and their own ways. Thank God for freedom, y'all. If you recognize any of these traits that I read in your own life, as I pray this prayer, agree with me. Father, I acknowledge that I have yielded myself to the spirit of Jezebel. I come to you humbling myself before you. I desire your standard of righteousness and holiness. I ask you to forgive me for my tolerance of the Jezebel spirit and for being sympathetic to his ways. Please forgive me for every way I have opened up myself to the Spirit. Help me to ruthlessly reject every type of this thinking and the desire to control and manipulate other people. I renounce and bind this demon of Jezebel, and I pull down this stronghold in my life. Through the Holy Spirit, I will live by your standards of righteousness, holiness, and conduct. Open our eyes and cause your light to expose any darkness and help us walk in humility and truth as we declare victory in Jesus' name. Y'all, Jezebel was a woman who did many wicked things, but what Scripture tells us is that it's not what Jezebel did that sent her to hell. It is what she did not do, and that is repent and accept Christ. As we walk into Friday Night Live, who's there? That's it. Who's on the line?
Well, this is your brother, Lavelle Jones. Awesome declaration. And you gave me a perfect topic. And I'm going to call it What the Dogs Left Behind.
Amen. Lavelle's on the line. I was like, oh, crickets, did everybody hang up? Because I kind of said that if y'all need to hang up. Hey, Lavelle, welcome, brother. Love you. I saw your post. Glad your hours are changing. I'm so excited.
Hey, Sister Dee Dee.
Yes, Brother Jeff.
Hey, I want to sign up for that spiritual warfare class. Whenever you're ready to teach it, I'm signing up.
Did you just say, okay. I will talk about that later, because, okay, amen. Hallelujah.
She got to him before she teach that class.
Amen. Anybody else just join?
Did you mention a town of Phoenicia?
Yes.
Did you say that earlier?
Yes.
Oh, is that where Ba Phoenicia came from?
You know what? I can't stand you. I love you, but I can't stand you.
Hold up. Was that the smooth talker?
Yes, it was. Yeah, the one who said that your voice was a little. What did he say? What did he say, Brother Adrian?
Said mine wasn't as smooth as his.
Y'all, I love y'all.
I said he got a deep voice. I said he wasn't as smooth as mine. And then somebody texted me and said, or sexy. But I ain't going to say who. I'm sorry.
Did you hear anything that I said? See, there y'all go. Yeah, y'all better pay attention to what I said. Did anybody else join?
Sound like you got all men on the line.
Because all the women been hushed. Everybody quiet. Hello?
No. I'm here.
I told you, I'm still here, picking my face up off the floor.
I'm still here. I had some background distractions, but I'm still here.
Amen. I know it's Kim.
I know it's some sisters on the line. It's over 20 people on the call.
Amen, Brother Jeff.
Yeah, your sisters ain't left you. That was awesome, Dee.
Thank you.
That was. Real dear,
and I'm so happy that you shared it tonight. It would have been great on our Thursday call, but I'm so happy you shared it tonight.
Yeah, Thursday can't touch everybody because that's what my husband and I are talking about. He grew up thinking, you know, when you hear Jezebel, you immediately think of some tramp woman, and that's what, you know, the spirit, but to break it down and know that it's not just the, you know,
right.
It's not just, you know, some people have just misconception. I was explaining to him, once you're at the age where you want to get the understanding for yourself so things make sense. You know what I mean? Does anybody want to share anything that they got out of it?
Well, to touch on what you just said before, I don't know how the Jezebel spirit is not understood that that could be anyone, because the word says that the Lord was coming back for his bride.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not about male or female. It's about us together as one. And we're the bride that he's coming back for. Mm-hmm. So if we don't understand that, then we are missing the mark.
And so many are, Brother Adrian. You should hear some of the stuff I hear. I'm like, and these are people that's been in church. And that's what it is. They've been in church. You know what I mean? So to not understand that, you're very right about that.
So, Sister Dee Dee, this is Diane.
Hey, sister.
I just want to say, you know, Jezebel doesn't have a gender.
Right.
And we each need to dig deeper into God's word, because God says his people perish for a lack of knowledge, because we don't take the time to dig deeper to get the real meaning, the context of the scripture. We just read across the surface and think that we know what it means, rather than going into the text and and elaborating with God of what he said for him to give us our understanding. We try to understand it in our own strength, and in our own strength we're going to fail every time. We're going to say the wrong thing. So I encourage everybody on the call to be your own advocate, pour into your own life, dig deeper into God's word. Start digging deeper and asking God to show you in his word, to show you how to walk in his word, how to live it, because that's what the word is for life application. God wants us to get life application and apply his word to our life that we may receive his blessings and be obedient to his word so that we can receive all the promises of God. So be encouraged.
Amen, sister. Thank you for that. I love you.
I love you, too.
I know.
And I love y'all.
Who said that?
And we love you right back.
Who said that? That they love us.
Oh,
he ain't loved us enough to bring us under that crap he was. Okay, I ain't gonna start. That's starting. Okay, let me not be messy on my own call. Did any?
I love you too, Pastor LaVelle. If nobody else loves you, I love you.
You know, y'all being messy tonight. I'm going back on me.
Did anybody else have anything they wanted to add, share, comment on?
I'm going to say it.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait. I heard Tim and I heard who else?
Bubbly.
Tim and Bubbly. Okay, Bubbly. However y'all want to do it, y'all work that out.
No, let him go ahead.
Go ahead, Bubbly.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Okay. I'm in a very noisy place right now, but even, you know, the story really talked about, you know, Jezebel in a bad way is what we usually hear it. The thing that stood out for me was that her husband wanted something, and she got it for him, you know, kind of like a stand-by-your-man kind of thing. And that just, even though she did it the way she did it, she was there to, you know, Ahab must have seen something in her for him to marry her and then to worship Baal.
Mm-hmm.
And we again talk about the power and the influence of a woman.
Mm.
Even though you talked about the war paint, you know, putting it on, and the Bible speaks about a woman doing the makeup thing for seductive reasoning. But she, you know, you think about Eve, and just from the standpoint of the influence, not that Eve did a whole bunch of evil stuff, but, you know, sin did start, you know, where she was a resident. But I kind of look at the influence of a Jezebel as far as her getting a king to marry her, and then she willed power, and then he,
hey,
you know...
Hey, Tim?
Yeah. Go ahead, LaVelle.
I tend to disagree with you just a little bit, not confrontational. And the reason
right.
I say that from the first part of what you said, because Ahab was totally henpecked. He was henpecked to allow his woman to have that much control and that much influence over his kingdom. And any time a man allows a woman to have that much influence over what God has given him, and she's tearing it apart, that's the reason she died the horrible death that she did. And that's why Elijah was a scaredy cat, because he was running from her. And God
right.
Okay, all right, let me stop.
Sound like somebody
knows
from experience.
Well, we know that you hear something. He was hand-picked.
I'm just trying to spark some conversation.
You,
like
and you did, because LaVelle came out there. He came off that mute. Like, he was henpecked. He let her have too
could,
much power.
We could say that Adam was, too, if he let his wife influence him and God told
and
him not
Abraham,
to do something.
And Abraham, and you might as
right,
well go down
all
the
of
list.
Them.
You might as well go.
Men
down.
Are weaker.
Keep on going.
The woman is smarter. Y'all heard. Okay, I'm sorry.
We didn't jump off the deep end now.
Yes.
Well,
go ahead,
what I
kept
getting,
no, I'm
we
good.
Saw
that,
there's some
good.
Other things.
Okay,
LaVelle helped put the icing on the cake. So
he did.
Go ahead.
All right.
Did you hear the emphasis he put on when he said man? Not just the henpecked part. If he was a man, a capital M A N.
We heard him.
All right, Bubbly, I'll go after you.
I didn't forget what I was going to say. I'm back in the land of wonder. I wonder what I was getting ready to say. Go ahead, Tanisha. It might come back by the time you get through. Go ahead.
What I kept hearing when you were talking, Dee Dee, was the tenacity and diligence, the go get 'em, gumption, all sort of words. What if she had taken and applied all of that toward the word of God, toward God, not toward evil, toward good, and not worshipped her husband, but God? It showed me how so easily we misdirect, along with not necessarily realizing the type of strength and power that we have and what we use that toward in our lives. Because she was like inquiring, honey, what's wrong with your bad attitude today? Oh, okay, you want that? Let me go get that. What if she had done that for some good reason, not just to get him a vineyard?
Goodery. You know, the other thing, too, you got to look at, you know, they say that women are smarter than men from the standpoint of planning things. You know how they, you hear comedians talk about it, how women can check out a dude and a man can't do it as well as the woman can. You know, he stumbles all over the place and gets found out if he's cheating on his woman. But they say women are more conniving than men.
The
you
word
know,
is cunning, not conniving.
Cunning. I'm sorry. Cunning. Okay. More cunning
wow.
than men. Not conniving. I get it. But, I mean, that's not a display of power. It's a display of cunningness, I guess,
intelligence.
You know, whatever. I'm being quiet. Go ahead, y'all. And I'm not being henpecked. I'm just going to let y'all talk.
Tim, how dare you let a woman correct you with words you want to use?
Two times.
That's a shame. Use conniving if you want to use conniving.
That wasn't correction, brother. That was confirmation. It wasn't correction.
Victorville. Tim is a smart man.
Victorville, we got Sean on the line tonight.
I'm back to the point. I'll bring it back, Dee Dee.
Thank
you,
Lisa.
Okay. So, you know, it's amazing how we look at things from the natural, and sometimes we look through a limited view when God overall has a plan. Remember, Ahab was one of the most wicked kings of Israel. And so, of course, he's going to marry outside their race. She was doing what she's supposed to do. Why do we expect the enemy to do something right? Why do we expect people who don't know God to do right things? And you got to give her props for what she was able to do, being able to manipulate and to control and then, you know, persuade and then do something to get whatever she wanted. And then she was bad enough to call Elijah out basically and tell him, well, the same thing you did to my prophets, I'm going to do to you. And so we know Elijah was overwhelmed. He was stressed out. He was depressed. So he was going through a lot. So that was like after all that he had been through, he thought he was the only one. So I don't know if he was necessarily scared. I do know that he had some depression going on if you think about what he had been through. But looking at how all this plays out, still – Jezebel had an opportunity. Thank you, Dee Dee, because you just did the whole well-rounded picture, how even though she had been through all this stuff and she had done all these wicked things, and no, it's not only a woman that is the Jezebel, and no, it's not red lipstick and high heels. No, 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 it's a spirit, and it's a control. If you go to the book of Revelation, she had an opportunity still to repent. So when Jesus was talking to the church of Thyatira, however you pronounce that, he said, this is what I have against you. You allowed this woman to come in with this crazy sexual and moral teaching and these doctrines, and you picked up her ways. And I allowed her an opportunity. I gave her room. I gave her space to repent, and she didn't. So he's telling us to turn from these things. So I love the prayer even. You know, there's some things in us that rebellion is the spirit as of witchcraft. There's some things I believe some in us, in the church, yeah, in the church that we haven't addressed. And if he was to come and call us out, which church will we fall into out of the seven in Revelations, I believe it is? Which one will we fall into?
I'm just one.
Very well put, Lisa. Very well put.
also that Old Testament triad is a comicosm of the New Testament trio.
Wait, brother. A comma what? Kamikaze, what? Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, all right.
You got a Shaka Zulu.
Of Herod, Herodias, and John the Baptist. But the difference, because each one of them, you had a wicked king, a she-deviled wife, and a courageous prophet. But the difference between Elijah and John the Baptist was John didn't care what Herodias said or what Herodias did, because he went and put his finger on the nose of the king and told him, King, you're living in sin. It ain't lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And if you don't repent, the wrath of God is going to fall on your head. You know, he was a voice. Even though he got his head chopped off, but, I mean, he still stood in spite of. And, y'all, we have to continue to stand in spite of, even if it costs us death. Most of us, we don't want death because we want to live and stuff. But the truth of the matter is most of the prophets died martyrs' death. People across the seas, over in distant lands and stuff, are dying because of their Christians, because they stand on their faith. And, y'all, we can't let anybody sway us, regardless of what they do to us. And girl, what's her name, Jezebel, was so cool, crafty, and cunning, if you will, but she influenced her husband in the process. And if we are to influence people, y'all, we ought to influence them for the better and not for the worse.
Amen.
I believe it.
That's good.
Now I know you're looking for a wife, Lavelle. I know you're looking for a wife. Be careful out there, bro.
Stop it.
That's why my daughter, my Valentine.
Jezebel and Lavelle kind of rhyme, don't you think? Be careful, bro.
Dee Dee, can I say
one for Tim?
I almost shot the dozens with you. I can cap now.
Okay, don't cap. Brothers. Go to y'all corner.
Lavelle know I love him. You know I love him like a brother. We good.
Lavelle have to say something. I mean, Lavelle, Jesus. Bubbly, okay. Go ahead. They got me tripping.
Girl, I know. I'm trying to get this to pop again. First of all, I want to thank you for your declaration and giving another side and another view to Jezebel, because all I've ever known about Jezebel was that,
don't get mad,
and I would love to know, what does she have to do with the color red? And if you I'm gonna have to look that up myself and find out, because everything,
hey,
you had on red stockings, you was a Jezebel. You had on red lipstick, you was a Jezebel.
Lavelle.
What is that noise?
Probably Pastor Lavelle at work.
That's not. I'm not at work. I'm off. That my phone was on mute. Don't say that.
Did you know that?
I don't know what that noise was. Still on the books in Georgia, I think, about red heels.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be illegal to wear pumps, red pumps in Georgia.
Right.
I think it's still on their books.
Excuse me.
Does anybody know that? That's something we. I don't. I never understood that either. I'm trying to figure out where.
Right.
What is it? Was it the red? Red? Was it color red, or was it the red pumps? Because I've never had
I think it's red and it's a pump. You can wear
church.
Any other color pumps, I believe. That's why I make sure I have on a brightest red when I go to certain churches. Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, no,
I'm glad y'all told me that one.
That's why I wear flat.
Go get, and they got a what just red pumps.
Red pumps. You can get arrested.
Can you get arrested?
They don't enforce it, but it had been written into the books, you know, down south, that Bible Belt, they were really, you know, really serious about certain things with the outward appearance and trying to get rid of that spirit, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It still crept in.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't in the lipstick and the shoes.
It sure wasn't. That's just like when people judge women for their clothes fitting a little differently and they're not wearing skirts today. Okay, that's a whole other decoration. I ain't going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
My bad. Somebody talk
about
that.
That's the women's call. That's the women's call, Didi.
Okay.
That was the Jezebel,
you know,
men in them. The men can control themselves. So that was the problem, okay?
Okay,
And also, that was a practice of religion, you know,
right.
Not so much as
you know, far as the wearing of the clothes and the, you know, the red lipstick or whatever, they was actually practicing more religion and the Old Testament law more so than faith that came through Christ. But if one of y'all real smart person on the call that got one of those smartphones that know how to use it and don't cut yourself off, you can look it up on your smartphone about the red lipstick while yeah. we continue
red heels and the light.
Okay,
yeah.
wait.
Yeah.
Let me tell y'all what I found. I'm a red
lipstick. You got one of them brick phones?
Can anybody hear me?
Levin,
no,
who is that?
Brother Adrian. You can go after me. I'm gonna go after Bubbly. So if Bubbly.
That was Dee Dee.
Oh, no, that was me. I was going to say that I pulled it up, and it said, red is a very powerful color in the Bible. It speaks of the sin that all mankind holds, but also of the redemption that everyone has access to because of Jesus shedding his blood on the cross. Had it not been for his sacrifice, people would have no long-standing way of atoning for their sins. Although in the Old Testament, people slaughtered goats and other animals to do so, it was a temporary fix. Jesus, however, through his blood, made the final price once for all. So the color red in the Bible, also scarlet and crimson, can symbolize both sin and redemption, but either way, they point to some type of blood sacrifice and need for redemption. That's what I found. Did anybody else find something else? Or have you?
What about the heels in Atlanta? The red pumps in Atlanta.
Did you type in Jezebel with the red?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a smartphone.
Well, good.
I have a smartphone.
All right.
Hold on one second,
amen.
Guys.
Wait one second.
I have people texting me that's trying to speak. Sabrina, go ahead, sister.
Hey. I just wanted to say what an awesome declaration it was. You did a fantastic job. You are so brave. You tackled a subject that we don't often hear talked about.
Mm-hmm.
As you were reading the description of what the Jezebel spirit embodies, the only thing I kept hearing is narcissism. Narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a pathology of narcissism in the church, from the pulpit to the back door, but we never deal with it. So I wanted to commend you on your bravery. You absolutely gave me something to think about, and I hope this conversation goes further in that direction where we can really talk about, you know, getting to the root of some things.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
Thank you, hold on, Jeff, one second. Thank you, Sabrina, so much. Wait, let me make sure I got everybody, because I'm sorry, y'all, my phone was underneath my papers. Okay, I think that's it. Go ahead, Brother Jeff.
You know, I was, the same word came to me as you were reading off the different attributes of the Jezebel spirit was Gnosticism as well, but I couldn't pronounce it, and it come up in my mind at the same time, but she is right on point with that. So we can put that at the top of the page. You know, the discussion and you know, the next declaration and all of, but when you were sharing about the different levels of spirits and the Jezebel being one of the wickeder spirits, I thought about the verse in the Bible where it tells us that, you know, after we've been delivered from a demonic influence, that they come back and see that the house has been swept and cleaned up, you know, and that and you mess around and get entangled again, and it come back in with seven more spirits, even more wicked than the one that you had been delivered from. So I was like, okay, it's good for me to get a clear understanding on this Jezebel spirit. And I know we're not a church, and I know we all have our own church homes, and we sit up under some great teaching at our own in our own congregation. I'm serious about that class, Dee Dee, for spiritual warfare, because I this call. It really drives me to want to study God's word and get deeper and really know how to walk this walk and battle against when it comes to the spiritual warfare. So, like I say, I know that we're not a church. This is a prayer call, but my God.
But you know what? Let me say this, and I thank you for saying. I know we're not a church. We're a group of radical Jesus freaks. I know I am. But look how good God has been to us. He's allowed us to all come together, and we all come from different backgrounds. I was raised in a CME church, Davis Chapel CME Church, 369 Chesley. Okay, that's another story. So as I grew up, it was so many things. I would visit Independent Holiness Church. I would go to Beebe Memorial. I would go to Phillips Temple. I would go to, McLaughlin Temple, and just all these different, just all these different Kojic and all. So I'm even to this day, I'm like so many different rules and regulations, and we're supposed to be one. So I've always been interested in, you know, why do Kojic people praise like this? Why do Baptists? But it's for me, Brother Jeff, I have to take spiritual warfare to life. I mean, it's something that we all should. Not all churches teach it. Not all churches. We have classes, and that's the blessing. I have not taken four. I've taken all the other ones, but that last spiritual warfare class is because you said that, I promise you, I'm going to go ahead and take four because I've been putting it off because I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready, but I'm ready. So thank you for saying that. And as I take that, I'll share with you guys if that's okay. So that's it. Thank you, Brother Jeff. And I know Adrian has been waiting to talk. Brother Adrian, are you still there?
Yeah, baby, I'm still here. I ain't got more waiting. I need to hang up.
Did you say some snuff?
Yeah, man.
You know how old school that is?
You know, it was really good.
Okay, trying to bring it up.
Hey, we go. Well, Adrian, we're going to put you in the lineup for the comedy show at our next event.
Yes, Lord.
I wanted to touch on a couple
That's
of things.
That's going to be hell in Chicago.
Hello?
Go ahead, brother.
Oh, I mean, it just went quiet. Okay, two things. One, the red, if you think about that culture, at that time, that culture didn't really deal in colors. Most of the time, they were the area that they lived in was hot and sweaty, so they didn't deal in makeup and lipstick like they would normally. And then you're talking about a culture that believes in the man being in charge and the woman being kind of subservient in a way. So anytime somebody came out with red or something bright like that, it got their attention. And so that culture basically had a reason for condemning that. It cannot really apply now because the red is a normal color that people wear, and a lot of women use different colors. But if you notice, red is a seductive color. Secondly, the reasons why the spirits can come back is because you haven't filled the temple with anything that you should fill it with. Like once the temple has been cleaned, we should fill it with the word of God and with seeking understanding and being filled with him, as opposed to just letting it stay, oh, I got clean and I'm fine. So we have to make sure that we do continually pray and stay in him and let him fill us. Because if the temple is empty, they will return from whence they came. That's it.
You know, Didi, when you spoke about the red lipstick, and I heard Sabrina talk about the psychology of the color red, and so, you know, I had been online a minute ago and just looking around and all that kind of stuff, and I was reading something. This is what it says. It said, red lipstick is saturated with sexual connotations. Hardly surprising, given that its primary function is to make lips look like a woman's, and then it goes on basically a different area of a woman's body. And that's where the seductiveness comes in at. And I'm looking on here, and it's talking about that, that there is the psychology behind it. Just like colors can, you know, if you need to be calm, you have green in a bedroom, you know, blue. Different colors make you feel a certain way, and red makes people or women feel sexy, according to this article. So, you know, and then we always perpetrate a whole bunch of stuff. We'll get something, people will get things, and then they'll take it to the max, using it in the wrong way. And though, you know, like Adrian said, red, you know, red lights, car lights are red, you know, when you stop it on the brake, you know, fire trucks are red, police lights, emergencies are red, you know, so the color red is very widely used in our society and culture, but when it comes down to what we were talking about, lipsticks and red neckties, you know, are power symbols, you know. So red is a very powerful color. It is used to get your attention. But then on the flip side of it is definitely something that's used to arouse emotions and feelings and stuff. So, but I was surprised to read this when it said it is, you know, used to just to resemble a woman's female parts, private consent.
Wow.
Exactly. Made me think about those red lights back in the day for us who know about that red light.
Oh,
back in the
and
day.
And I'm not really fond of red. I love purple, but I will wear red. But that's funny that it said that, Tim. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else got anything? Any thoughts, any, as I was reading the, and it's online, you can pull up the traits or whatever and see if it's something that you may have. I know the control, wait here, let me find my paper because I was looking at, I had found 30 and I was like, I'm not about to read 30, but I'm going to just read a few. It says, refuses to admit guilt or wrong. A Jezebel spirit is never wrong. Anybody never wrong? Anybody take credit for everything or use people? Don't really give the right information because that's a form of control too. Talks and confusion. It's impossible, it says, to converse with a Jezebel in logic. And it says when confronting a Jezebel, the subject may be changed 5 times in 1 minute because confusion keeps them undiscovered and unexposed. A Jezebel spirit will volunteer for anything to establish control, lies convincingly, ignores people, never gives credit or shows gratitude, and criticizes everyone. So think about that's what my husband and I were talking about, the criticism. There are some people I know, and I had to remind him of some people that we both know, that no matter what you tell them, I'll share this with y'all because I think I probably did. So when we first got married, y'all know the story. We shacked up. Yeah, we was shacking. We shacked. Yes, we did. But when we got married, you know, that was a beautiful thing, and I was excited. And, you know, of course I was getting people because I didn't tell a lot of people. So when people knew we got married, they saw our picture. When we first got married, it got posted, of course, because I do everything on Facebook. Anyway, but instead of people who I expected to be, like, as happy as I was or rejoice with me, and you know, because people don't always rejoice when you rejoice, it was a, how do I say it? You give me a compliment, but there's a criticism in it. It's like, man, keep that. It's like, oh, your wedding was beautiful, but it's about time. Or, you know, just had something to add. Instead of just saying a beautiful wedding, congratulations, you have to add your criticism to it. So that part right there, the criticizes everyone. And to this day, although it's 3 years, I have gotten over it, but I still remember it. Because it's like when I see that person, I'm like, are you really happy for me? Or are you judging me because we didn't do it the proper way? Anybody?
I'm going to say one more thing. I got one more thing to say about the red. Just real quick.
Tim, I'm talking about the criticism. Go ahead.
I just want to say about the blood. The blood is red, too. That's powerful. When we talk about the color red being powerful, and mm-hmm. then we think about the blood of Jesus, why is blood red? Blood could have been any other color. But I just wanted to just kind of reference the power in the blood. You know, that we're cleansed, you know, by the blood of Jesus, and that's the color red, too. So just food for thought.
Amen. Thank you for that.
While I'm about to eat food for the body.
Post a picture before you devour it. Send it to my phone because I ain't getting nothing. Did anybody hear what I mean, have anything to say about what I said?
What was it again?
About the criticizing, the spirit of criticism, people that no matter what you tell them, they always have to criticize it. They don't have nothing good to say.
I know somebody like that.
I mean, because that is a spirit. You don't never have nothing good to say. You always negative, always critical. Is I avoid those people at all costs. I guess I'm the only one, huh?
Me too, Sissy.
No, you're not. So do I.
Sometimes you can't avoid them. And what we have to be is that light. So I have this lady in my office, and when she grew up, she used to be like a little Billy Graham evangelist, telling her parents they was going to hell and all that stuff. You know, she was like serious about it. And as she grew up, life happened. She was always criticized, and she comes from an Asian background. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of demand on, you know, performance and stuff like that, but still them not having very much. So as she grew up, she was like right in the middle, so she was overlooked a lot. And as a result of that, she became bitter to an extent. And so when we first moved into our office, and it's been almost 7 years now, and it's about to come to an end to some extent, I'm not sure how it's going to play out, but anyway, She, because I am who I am, and you know I'm going to talk about God, and it's going to be, I couldn't leave the atmosphere. If you knew our office size, it's really small, and there's four people in there, and it's a big old shoebox. They call it a sweatbox. But anyway, because we didn't allow, I mean, everything out of her mouth was negative. Everything, I kid you not. Super nice person, but this was how she was raised. This was who she had become. And because she would tell you this herself, but because of our light, my light shining in the office, and the other people are believers as well, but I'm outspoken, and I speak about it, and we go to scriptures and we look at it. Her and her husband started reading the Bible together. She is now back in fellowship with God and talking, you know, again, you know, to her family about God, and she's got her love back for God. So every now and then that little negativity creeps back in, but she is so different than what she was when I first came in the office. So when you say, why are people like that, a lot of times they get it honest. They get it from their situation, their circumstances, life. And I don't think she ever meant to turn that way and become so negative, but that's what the enemy will do when you're not walking in fellowship with God. All those other things start to creep in, and then they start to shape who you become. And if someone doesn't come and help you see a light, you'll still walk in that. And to this day, she knows, because, like I said, our job may be ending or it may change dramatically or drastically. She realizes this was all for a purpose, that God had this divine connection. So she talks about assignments and, you know, God doing, you know, things, and it was working it out just to get her back in right position, right relationship with God, even though her relationship never ended, but right fellowship with God, if you will.
Hey, you know something? I thank you, because you just, my God, you... Whew, I owe you a kiss and a chocolate bar or whatever, but you just cleared up, because when you said those people you can't avoid, because when it's family, I've learned, because it's one person in particular, and I tell you, it makes my, Jesus. But what you said is how they were raised, and I know what you said. I thank you. I'm going to just leave it at that, because I don't want to say too much, because I have to watch the words that I speak. Yeah. But thank you, because you just gave me another way to deal with this. I said, God, is this a test? I think I'll be punked sometimes with some of the conversations that we have. And it's like I'm trying to watch my language. I'm trying to watch my posture. I'm trying to watch all that so I don't damage my witness to her, because she is, like you said, she's not, not that she's not where I am. That's not what I'm saying. But our upbringing is different. And spiritually, it's like she's, how would I say it? She's in a stuck place. It's like she won't move, or she's stuck in that old time religion, And when I talk to her, she even told me, I get on her nerves because you're too positive and you have faith and you don't. You believe, I'm
you
like,
got liberty,
yeah,
and freedom and Christ.
You're bold.
Yeah.
And then she tells me, I couldn't tell. You tell all your business. I said, well, if I don't tell it, the devil will. I don't care. I mean, I don't tell it all, but okay. And it's like, I feel like she attacks me sometimes, but what you said, I get it now. It ain't even about me. It ain't even about me. So, thank you.
Well,
I just had a whole conversation with myself.
Another thing, Dee Dee, is that sometimes the damage or experiences that people have had leaves some of those traits, unfortunately, mm-hmm. and they're hard to purge. Even mm-hmm. with the growth that I've seen with my mother since she started growing closer to God, and with all of the work that she's doing, and she's growing in leaps and bounds. Unfortunately, one of the things that were inherited for her has been the hardest for her to shake. So in speaking to her, sometimes you may not know how wonderful she absolutely is, because the first thing that comes out of her mouth, unfortunately, is always the worst thing or the negative comment. And so if it wasn't for my understanding of the dynamics, it would completely be a put-off or a wedge in our relationship if I wasn't able to understand where it came from, because I would just think that she was being rude and inconsiderate. But because I understand where it came from and why it's difficult for her to shake, I'm able to have patience and to not take it personally and not understand, and to understand that it isn't about me. So sometimes, unfortunately, it's inherited, and it's not something that they try to do, or almost it's so innate in them, they don't even realize it and can't help but to do it.
That's good. That's true. That's true. That's all you know.
Where we were.
That's all you know. And then what? Didn't we talk about that today? People can only give you what they have.
Mm-hmm. And isn't that where some of us was until
mm-hmm.
we came into the knowledge of the truth
mm-hmm.
and he opened up our eyes?
And still,
we,
you know,
and we
those,
said yes and still
moments.
Doing it. Yes.
Yes, indeed.
That's it.
Absolutely.
That's learning and growing and being purged, and sometimes that purging hurts.
Girl.
Yeah.
You got to go take a Advil.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let the layers be removed.
Yeah.
Layer by
that
layer.
That onion.
That's it.
Oh, that's
the flower.
Like every day.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. That one's better. I like the flour better than the onion. Oh, that sounds nice.
Well, but sometimes it's stank, too. And onion.
Yeah,
onion.
So I'm mm-hmm. sticking with the onion because some of the stuff that comes off is very sticky,
yeah.
very ugly, and then you blossom into that beautiful flour, and then the pebbles
yeah.
fall off as needed.
Oh, y'all, I love y'all. Y'all just don't know. I'm having a date night tonight, too, later on. Oh, I'm sorry.
We love you, too, Dee Dee.
I was excited. Who's that?
I'm excited.
Sister Tracy. Your
Tracy?
Sister girl.
Tracy, you on the phone, Tracy.
Yes, I was. I'm sitting in the nail salon, girl. Y'all got me here ready to holler it.
Hey, Tracy, girl. What color are you getting? Red?
Uh-oh, gone, girl. Just do your toes. Just do your toes.
Then now, being an usher boy with no red polish. No,
up in the choir stand, the choir stand.
Watch that lipstick off for you. Okay, go ahead.
Right.
You know
right.
what? We need to stop.
I know. It's fun. You have want to share some traits?
No, I just wanted to tell you, I just love you, and I enjoyed the declaration, and I'm just listening because y'all have me laughing, and, you know, sometimes laughing is good for the soul. I'm just sitting here listening. Can't really talk to too many people around.
Okay,
but.
I get it. Thank you. Bellman Lee, we said hello. Okay, I'm
Did
sorry.
Did you post anything this morning, Tracy? Because I normally wake up to your ding on my post.
Right.
My alert. I know. I don't think I got it this morning.
Really?
I don't think so. Did you?
Yeah, I think I did. No, I'm
okay.
not sure.
Okay.
Sister Dee Dee.
Yes, Brother Jeff.
You know, when a person is confident in who they are in Christ Jesus, someone that is less confident in their walk with Christ may perceive a person to be self-righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so with with the understanding of knowing that I'm confident in who I am in Christ Jesus, I have to be mindful of the way that I deliver my witness or, man, what is it that I wanted to say? So that they people, so that I could draw them and they don't perceive me as being self-righteous or that narcissistic, you know what I'm trying to say, type of person.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to not dumb down, you know
right.
what I'm saying, our life. We need not to dumb down, you know, because I want to be confident and I want to be bold, you know, but I also want to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So, man, this is a great dialogue tonight. And like I said, at the top of the page, that word I was just trying to pronounce, y'all know what I'm doing. and this spiritual warfare, look here. Help me put on the boxing gloves so I could beat him down. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Thank you, Brother Jeff.
So I'm confident.
Amen. Sound like it too. I appreciate my victim family. Is there anyone else on tonight?
I want you to know I'm feeling some kind of way over here.
Okay, Adrian, I'm
going to
get you.
I keep muted. I'm muted.
Hello?
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's just Adrian using his voice, changing his voice, because Tim told him his voice was smoother.
Well, I don't mean to be, she can go, but, you know, anytime you're on the phone and you ain't doing nothing and you get muted and then you unmute and then you mute again and you ain't did nothing, I think that's wrong.
Oh, yeah, we all felt that kind of way, Adrian. You're right.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the only one.
Go ahead.
3 years, Alisa. Look, it's been 3 years. Alisa, still get mad.
I cannot.
Look, I double mute myself now. I'm just done. Learned my lesson.
Go ahead. Crack it up. Hello.
So I was just saying, let me
is
tell
this,
you, we
hold
put the
on,
we,
is this Putin?
Huh?
Putin.
Girl, my
Putin?
Yes, girl.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
How you doing?
Girl, so I was just saying, girl, what if I get outside in the public with a L, P-L-U-B-L-U-I-K, public. What if I get outside in the public and talk like this for real? You think they'll be mad?
No, they
anyway,
can't.
Girl.
No, I for you.
Right. Right. I was just saying this. Let me tell you what I've been stuck on. Godfidence. I'm going to get some T-shirts made.
Oh,
that are called,
I like
Godfidence.
That.
I'm literally,
right.
Well, you said it. You started it. Yeah, you know, you love, use a Victor. You make up random words unnecessarily, but they be catchy. They be real, real catchy. And so I enjoyed you this evening.
I'm glad, Sister Wren. I love when you enjoy me. I love when everybody enjoys me. But do you hear all these nuts on this line?
This is a basket case line. Tracy's in the nail shop listening to Ming and Hopping them. And every time she take her phone off mute, you keep it. I hope she don't got us on speaker. I didn't mean to call you Ming and Hopping them. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it in like a bad way.
We got you.
But I enjoyed you this evening. Right. We had got your bag.
Can I tell you that my stomach, even Maddie had to laugh at me because I said my stomach hurts right before 6 o'clock. He's like, why is your stomach hurt? I said, I'm nervous. He's like, girl, please, you better go in there and do what you
right,
do.
Right, girl, bye. Don't do
I'm
that.
I'm nervous. And I just knew. Then when I finished, I was like, ooh, cricket, did it hang?
Mm-hmm. We had just double muted ourselves.
And we was all on time.
time. Everybody was in the beginning. We didn't want to miss nothing.
Oh, that's what Adrian said. He was muted. He ain't even said nothing. Adrian, there will be many a muted moments. You can't even get offended. All you got to do is just call
please
and
don't
text
get please don't get offended.
He's coming back.
God, don't hang up.
Who said some oil? Who
just trying to some of that anointment oil? That anointment oil.
You know, when you try to say something, you can't say nothing, you know, it's kind of frustrating because you be getting ready to say something, nobody hears nothing you're saying.
You be talking to yourself, right?
We're going to have to talk to these people that be on the board.
But can we just say, while we're on the subject of Brother Adrian, my brother, your testimony this week, may I just tell you, my waterproof mascara ran with that one. Mark, can you go ahead and just enlighten the Victor Vills? Can you share that a little bit? Go ahead. I'm going to wait. I'm going to go on mute to talk.
You talking to me?
Your regular voice.
Yes, Gracie.
Which one did you like share?
Met the Bear News.
Your news. You know what news.
The news.
A good report from the doctor. That one.
Yeah, see, I had a problem with that big C word or that little C word. Anyway, whatever it is. And it was caught before, and I had to take radiation and hormone treatment. And I lost my medical. I had to go to a different the VA, and the VA wouldn't give me the medicine. So it came back. And I went to Highland, and Highland said, they took a PSA test, which shows if there's anything in your blood. And they said my level of PSA was in the 2000 range.
Wow.
Now, as far as I understand, PSA levels should no more than be 1 or 2 at the most. And mine was in 2000. So I'm taking chemo and some pills. And Tuesday evening, before I went to bed, the Lord gave me John 5. Now, I know the word, but, you know, I don't know exactly where the word is that I know. I know it's in there. And so I didn't know what John 5 was, and I looked it up, and it was talking about the men at the well, well of Bathsheba, Bathsheba, excuse me, and how every time the angel troubled the water, somebody would get in the water before he could. And so Jesus was talking to the man. He said, take up that bed and walk. And in that same minute, he was healed and he walked. And so I said, thank you, Lord. I received that because I recognize that you're telling me I'm healed. So I went to the doctor Wednesday morning, and they did the tests, and they were looking over the different things. And the doctor came in and said, well, I got something to tell you. And she said, when we first took your PSA levels, it was 2,000, in the range of 2,000, which is extremely high. But we just took it last week, and it shows that it is now 28.
Mama.
It's not all the way down, but it's always down.
Hallelujah.
Is that
right,
Jesus?
Hallelujah.
So, God, and that song that was sang this morning has been resonating in my spirit all day. I had to keep myself from keep posting it. There is none like you, Lord.
Oof.
None.
Yes.
That's good news, Adrian. That's good news, brother. Good
my
news.
God.
Great
I
news.
I was
wonderful
like,
news.
Yes. Won't he will.
I am praising
Won't
God.
Won't he do
I've
it?
God all day. I've been emotional. I'm like, okay, I'm getting a little bit too old for this emotion thing, but, you know, I'm hanging in there.
You're never too old for emotions, Adrian. Never.
That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing that one, my brother.
You're welcome.
Miracles
and thank you.
Still happen.
Appreciate it.
Miracles.
Yes, we're Amen. Miracles on this crazy Friday night, Victorvillians. Hey, y'all anybody else? Because I got to go prepare it myself. Well, I got a little
before.
Time. Oh, me, Mary. Let me shout out Aloha. My sister, me, Mary, is all the way on the line at a, what did you say? Here. She said it's too noisy. She had a luau, something.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she better bring some of that pulp back.
No, we gotta go visit. They moved. They've relocated. So, thank you for joining me, Mary, sister. In, I'm coming to Maui. I'm coming back. I'm going back to my little grass shack. Amen.
I thank you.
Oh, nutcase. Anybody else? Tim, that food look good, man. Quit playing. That's
oh,
spinach.
He posted pictures.
No, he sent it to me. That's spinach and what?
Salmon with lagostino. Baked potato, big old loaded baked potato. Now I'm looking at this ice cream and this brownie obsession. I think I'm gonna get it.
Also, you
get
like
money for dessert.
Muted.
I'm going to be my cheesecake after that one.
Did he say some cheesecake?
No.
That was me over here.
But I wanted to say, Adrian, your testimony, man, nobody ever, I never talk about this, but your testimony made me want to shout. I mean, it really made me well up in a little tear a little while ago when I heard you say that, man. And I had to look around, man. I was just ready to tear this table up. But that's a great testimony, man. And I don't know, sometimes it just takes the right person, the right timing for you to hear something for it to affect you like that. And your testimony really made me a little emotional a little while ago when you just said it. I didn't hear it this week, but it really moved me, man. I'm just so glad and happy for you, you know. So God is good, man. Thanks for sharing that. That was great. And
Thank you, I hear
a lot of stuff that make me want to shout. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I wanted to go out in this parking lot and just start yelling and screaming, leave my meal right here. That's how I felt about it.
Wow.
So I'm just sharing.
Yeah,
wasn't that
something to yell about though? Jesus,
Jesus.
Oh God, we thank you for that, blessing, God. We thank you for Adrian. Oh Father, we thank you, my God.
Thank you,
Father God.
Yeah. That's powerful right there.
Yeah, that's why I said you need to tell that one. I was reading.
I know that's right.
My God.
Yeah, that power of prayer.
Ooh, it seems as though this call, a lot of things that we pray for, miracles occur.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the lady with the liver, she needed a transplant four days ago, and she's at home now.
See? That right
she
there.
Was on the transplant list.
Mm-hmm.
And we prayed, and the next day she was released, going home.
Ain't that something? Ain't that
no
something?
Expedience.
Yes, immediate.
Can I say something? This is something I've learned. I've learned that we should expect to see miracles.
Yes.
The word says, these things shall ye do, and are greater works than these shall ye do. So we should see things happening around us, and that world can't explain.
Right.
But only God can do.
Right.
When we pray, we should expect to see him move, because he said when two or three are gathered, he'll be in the midst. And he said, we have authority to pray for those.
Yeah.
He said, pray healing for those that ye may be healed. We have to pray healing for their hearts, their minds, and their spirit, and expect to see these miracles.
Amen. That's that faith,
and also
right?
The word says that our people, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So with him giving you this testimony of God's miracle, a lot of times we end up in situations that if we would get the information prior to going in, the miracle, I won't say, won't be necessary, because God will sometimes allow us to have to go that way anyway. But so many men are being diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And a lot of men are just not being checked. They're not going to get checked. And it has a higher incidence in African-American men. That's the way the enemy is trying to get to our men. But if you go and get checked, I can't tell you how many men that I know that have died from this.
If you need me to talk to some men, I could scare a few of them up in that place.
Yeah, yep. You need to.
What I had to deal with, after I tell them what they have to deal with, I promise you they'd rather take the finger than what I had to deal with.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's necessary.
So let me know, and I will definitely talk to them.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's a whole class.
Sharing with our brothers on this call. Amen. I hope y'all.
And I'm the same with the mammograms.
Yes.
I encourage it. I don't believe what the doctor say about what age
right.
you go
right.
in there. If you feel you know you have the history, you just go in there. Mm-hmm. You can tell your doctor something that would make him give you whatever your insurance, whatever you have, mm-hmm. the doctors know what to put down, and they will just go on and do what they need to do.
Right.
But mainly fear is what holds us back, yeah. and that's our biggest enemy right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because fear is not going to help you, and it's not going to heal you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to distract you, and it can kill you.
I'm teaching our young women and girls to do their exams because I think that's even more important because a
mm-hmm.
lot of women can't have a mammogram because their breasts are too dense.
Mm-hmm.
They would have to have an ultrasound done.
Ultrasound,
so
yeah.
it's even more
right.
important to do your monthly breast exam so that you can get the earliest possible sign of any sort of lump because that is what saves lives. Early detection, early detection, early detection.
Because you know
detection.
Something like Diamond with Gail was saying too, lately I'm hearing more and more sisters when they find it there in stage four.
Yeah,
like,
right,
right. And it's a wonder for African-American women. We have
mm-hmm.
this estrogen
yes.
type breast cancer, and it's really aggressive. It's super
yes.
aggressive.
So it's unfortunate because
mm-hmm.
Planned Parenthood has changed their protocol. A lot of places aren't doing them even annually anymore. They're doing
mm.
them every third year.
Right.
So you really have to be diligent and advocate
mm-hmm.
for yourself.
Yes.
And know yourself and to pass that along. And it's not easy. I didn't want to have the conversation with my daughter, but it's on both sides of her family, so I knew that it was important. And so I had to empower her with the knowledge of that so that she doesn't have that wall in thinking, oh, that's weird or things of that nature. Unfortunately, things that are natural in human nature or just pure D medicine, we allow to be, or unfortunately exposed to, and are allowed to think that there's something wrong with it, and it
mm-hmm.
prevents us from advocating for ourselves in the best way possible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Don't accept it.
You know, it's a sad thing. Is I just thought about this. We're in February, which is quote-unquote Black History Month, and what they used to tell us was, you know, if you ever wanted to keep something from a black person, put it in a book. Has anybody
mm-hmm.
ever heard that? Mm-hmm,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
So we don't know because, I mean, we have the information now. We're in an information age. You know, we're so deep into it that really anything is at our fingertips through the smartphone of getting information, getting knowledge, getting, you know, what it is that we need. We have access now. Before we were denied access, we couldn't. But what's keeping
mm-hmm.
us back now?
And you have to ask. You can't be fearful. There are apps that I've even started using to better aid myself. I do use one on my Samsung that keeps up with my sleep, my fluid intake. I can check my pulse ox, which is really important with me and my sickle cell, and my blood pressure, all from putting my finger on my cell phone. And even me, being as advanced with the internet and phones as I am, I didn't know that there were so many apps available to aid you with things of this sort. So you may not know how to find it or access it in your phone, but if you got a youngster, anybody around you that's good with gadgets, tell them to find you something that can help you keep track of things. Because if you can take your blood pressure with just the press of a finger on the cell phone, we can save a whole bunch of lives.
So
there's a lot of black men that have high blood pressure as well.
Also, for men, if they start early in their 30s, the doctor said if he could get men to come in when they're in their 30s,
mm-hmm.
mid-30s to late 30s, they can catch it, possibly detect it early enough that they can stop it or at least, you know, end it. So we just got to get people to listen. They have ears, but they hear not. They have eyes, but they see not. So we have to help them see and hear.
Amen. And sometimes in families, you need to bind the generational curses because it's just been embedded in us to a certain degree that you know, going to the doctor and going to the, even when you need help mentally, to go to a psychiatrist is really, you know, taboo.
Right.
So we just have to train this new generation, you know, because they fall by the wayside as well. They pick up a lot of our habits as well. So we just have to do better to inform the younger people and people that we're with, our testimonies like this. That's why God take us through this, so we can share the information with others to try to save lives. If one person's life is saved by a declaration or a testimony, then we're doing God's work, you know, and we just need to do that as much as possible.
Amen. I'm going to post something about checking your PSA and having a mammogram done. Since we on the subject, people use Facebook for so much stuff, and whether somebody pays attention or not is not up to me. But I haven't had this conversation for no reason, so I'll make sure in the next 24 hours I'll post something about both topics.
And that app with the blood pressure check with that phone, because most people will not have a blood pressure cuff or anything at home, but they will have their smartphone. So that's pretty awesome.
I'll share that app.
I'm going to eat me some food.
You need no
fresh eyes.
So everybody,
you don't need some fresh eyes, Lisa?
No, I'm eating some ground beef with lettuce wrap. I'm eating healthy,
okay,
y'all.
Well,
oh, go ahead, Lisa. You've been at boot camp.
Ground turkey.
Go ahead.
Ground turkey.
Ground turkey. I thought she said ground beef.
I had that before. I got some salmon cakes. I just needed some ground beef today. I was like, I want a little bit of beef.
Yeah, every once in a while you need a little more.
Need to cheat, right?
It's lean. It's lean, though. It's real lean.
So, guys, is everyone, I never know how – the right way to say it. Mine's all, how do you say it?
Mine's all clear.
Clear, honey. Guess mine ain't, because I didn't know how to say it.
Come on, church folks. All hearts and minds clear.
Are all hearts and minds clear?
Yeah, mine's clear.
I'm to a certain degree, mommy all night.
Can I get a volunteer to pray us out? How about that?
Well, where are the men at?
Well, we know,
don't
brother,
be quiet now.
Oh, y'all gonna really be quiet.
Yeah, I did. Yes, I did that.
All right, someone decided to do it beside me?
No, it's on
you.
No, we just waiting on the brothers. Y'all wanna fight for that too? Go ahead.
Okay.
Well, I got a prayer request right quick. I need to find a place.
Go ahead with your prayer request.
I'm trying to move, so I would like to find a place to move. No, I'm still here in L.A.
Oh.
I would like to get a place to be moving in a couple of weeks, actually. So just pray for me.
Expeditiously,
nice
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brother, tell me the place to move to, Brother Adrian.
Okay, that's
above
not me.
A restaurant.
Okay,
I'm gonna go to yogurt land right now.
Huh?
Was that Brother Adrian getting ready to pray?
Yeah.
I do.
Go ahead.
Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for all that you're doing, all that you're showing. We thank you for the things that you're taking us through, but you're showing us that you're there and holding us and guide us, Lord God. We thank you for keeping us strong. We thank you for keeping our minds on you. We thank you for helping our hearts to stay strong. And we thank you that in our times of weakness that you're made strong, Lord God. Your strength is perfect. We thank you for your spirit, Lord God, comforting us in those times when we lose people that are around us, Lord God. We thank you for those times, Lord God, that when it seems nobody is around us and everybody has left us, that you're there and you're holding us and you're watching over us and keeping us safe. We thank you for watching over our kids and watching over our families and watching over our friends, Lord God. We thank you for the safety of our homes. Thank you for watching over us and keeping us in your arms, Lord God, in your shadow. We thank you for all that you're doing, Lord God. I ask you in the name of Jesus that you bless my family, and that's all my family, with the places that they need to live, the things that they need in those homes, Lord God, and homes that are not too expensive, but that they can take care of. But I also ask you, Lord God, to make sure that they know that even if it doesn't look like they can afford it, that they know that you got it no matter what is going on. And, Lord God, we know that you have the ability to take care of all things, Lord God. So I ask that you touch each person that needs healing, be it the heart, be it the body, be it the mind, Lord God, but heal and be with them, Lord God, and strengthen them. And, Lord, for those that are mourning and suffering from hurts, Lord God, I ask that you send a comforter because you said you would not leave us comfortless, that the comforter would come. So I ask that you send a comforter to comfort those, Lord God. And, Lord God, we even though we're leaving off this phone, Lord God, but we're never leaving from your face, we ask that you watch over each person, bless each family, take care of each household, and keep us in your peace, in Jesus' name. And we all say amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Brother Adrian. Amen. Love you all, Victor. Enjoy your Friday night, the 12th. The 12th.
Love y'all.
Weekend. Be good, y'all.
Love y'all. Good morning.
Love y'all. Yay.
Be blessed and encouraged.
As always.